And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. We're in Dipper number three, hour number three. Go home time is upon you. Y'all, I'm just telling you, it is Friday, and I know you's glad. Let me take a few text messages here. It's going to be a very short segment because I ran long intentionally with Stuart Salters from the American Public Gas Association. When we get back to the next break, by the way, I'm gonna break down for you something that I think is one of the biggest deals in the energy sector that is still flying under the radar. You will be amazed to hear what the Biden administration just did a couple weeks ago that is literally having ramifications worldwide. Basically, what he's doing is helping our enemies and hurting us domestically. Go figure. Let me get a few of the text messages in here. Some of them date back to the previous dippers, but Danny from Pinhook says, so Biden and the Democrats don't like the people's choice unless they agree with it. Sounds like communism. There you go. What else we got here? Ray from Harvest is letting us know that there's been a military helicopter crash in the woods near Mount Olive. I'm not aware of that. A National Guard unit headed home after the rain. Oh, my gosh. I hope not, man. But all right. Thank you, Ray. I appreciate the heads up, brother. We'll watch for the headline. If I see a breaking news story that I can relate to the rest of y'all, I'll grab it. Anyway. All right. William from Russellville says, can the federal government pass a law to override state laws to protect our children and the rights of parents relating to states to administer sex-altering drugs without parental permission? Yes, they potentially can. However, they cannot override the Constitution. So what we're dealing with right now is some of this is a religious accommodation, which is a protected right under the Constitution. And so can the federal government override state laws? They will try to, but they're not going to. They're not gonna get a state law a mandatory federal law in place, I don't think, that is going to allow for the sexual alteration of children or the removal from homes because someone disagrees with a transgender lifestyle. I don't see that happening at the federal level, at least not anytime soon. But at the same time, states are gonna fight this thing. If they try, states will fight it. So stand by, William, but it's a fight worth having, isn't it? What else? John from Brownsboro says, when I was younger, I wasn't allowed to get an earring, which was a fad at the time, or a tattoo without parental approval. I thank my parents every day that I'm not bound by poor choices that were refused for good reason. Think about it. A kid could not go get a tattoo, but a kid can get a mastectomy in some places in the United States. That makes no sense. I mean, think about the dichotomy there.
It's wild.
It is absolutely, it's asinine. Oh, my gosh. I'm getting all stirred up again. Jeff from Holly Pond says, I wonder what God will say to them when they meet him. Yeah. No kidding. All right. Listen, y'all stay tuned. We're coming right back. Biden's war on domestic energy. It's there. I'm calling this dipper. Hit the gas. Be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one right here. Y'all are talking about Alabama. And I mean to say, this show goes like way down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, even Mississippi all thrown in, just for good measure. Hey, I'll tell you who else covers a lot of ground, by the way. That's our friends over yonder at Southern Immediate Care. So Southern Immediate Care is a chain of clinics that covers a big old swath of ground across North Alabama. And y'all, I mean, I'm talking places like Gadsden, Anniston, Atala, and then six more locations around the Birmingham area. Southern Immediate Care. They are epic good at what they do, and they are open 7 days a week. They will see all ages. I like to say it's pediatric to geriatric. But yeah, Southern Immediate Care is who I use personally. It is. And they don't advertise, and that's why I use them. They advertise because I was already using them, was so pleased. I told them I could brag on y'all if you want to come on. And they said, you know what? Yeah. So listen, if you need medical attention, do you get sick on a Saturday and wait till Monday? No. Southern Immediate Care is there for you. You check them out. Find the location nearest to you online. Head on down there and do me a favor. Tell them you heard about it on Right Side Radio. I'd appreciate that. We had a texter a moment ago. I think it was Ray from Harvest who let us know that there was a report about a helicopter crash. I will, Ray, it's better than what you had said. So story on WSFA and also WAFF out of Huntsville. WSFA is out of Montgomery. WAFF is out of Huntsville. The crash apparently occurred down in Pike County, Alabama, which is down near Montgomery. Pike County, the sheriff there said that the helicopter was on a training exercise when it went down near County Road 4405. Said there were only two people in the helicopter. They only received minor injuries. They were airlifted out. It's a helicopter that flies out of the formerly known as Fort Rucker, now Fort Novosel, down in South Alabama. So that's what we know. I don't know any more about it, but it was, you know, that's the home of the Army Aviation School. So this has easily been an aircraft that was on a training flight. But nonetheless, two people on board and
they survived.
They survived minor injuries. Yep, absolutely. Good news. Thanks for the heads up, though, Ray. We're glad to check that out, and now we know the story. I'll tell you what else. I just got another. So Charlene just texted me. This is maddening. This is off topic. I'm so off topic right now. Story on Fox News right now. The U.S. military is tracking another high-altitude balloon flying over the western U.S. So we were talking just yesterday about that Chinese balloon.
Yeah.
So story that was breaking right now. Literally it came up on Fox at 3:51. So it's been out for less than an hour. Military tracking a high altitude balloon over the western U.S. The origins of the balloon and its purpose are not yet known. And it so goes on to say it was spotted by U.S. military aircraft. It was determined to not be a threat, but the origins and its purpose are not yet known. It's drifting east in the jet stream. This is a developing story. Well, for those of y'all that remember the whole Chinese spy balloon thing, what we found out was that was not the first. There had been multiple spy balloons that had flown over. We just hadn't been told about it. And we discovered that one, and the Biden administration just sat there and dithered, and then finally waited until it got over the Atlantic Ocean. Like, it flew over the entire United States. Then they shot it down. Oh, by the way, they shot it down over the water and made it real hard to recover the equipment. When they finally dived on the wreck and recovered the equipment, have you ever been told what it really was? No. Kind of got quiet, didn't it? Anyway. All right, let me jump back on this first dipper. A third dipper, I mean. So I made mention a while ago in our conversation with Stuart Salters, who's the vice president of the American Public Gas Association, that President Biden is known for being extreme, well, in a lot of ways. let's be honest. The man is I don't know if he's in charge of his own faculties, but at the very least, whatever comes out of his administration typically winds up being on the opposite end of everything that we conservatives stand for. I will call balls and strikes. If I see something I like, I'll say so. I rarely have the opportunity to say what I like out of the Biden administration, right? I like the fact that the grass is mowed very nicely at the White House. That's about all I can find to say. But Biden took the extreme step this past fall of invoking a Cold War era law called the Defense Production Act of 1950. The DPA, the Defense Production Act, is there so that in the event of a major mobilization and the need to upgrade our capacities in wartime production, like for, you know, tanks, airplanes, ammunition, whatever the case may be, that you can get private industry engaged under order of the executive branch. It's not supposed to be used for, oh, I see an agenda I want to pursue. Let me just invoke it. So what did he do? Under the auspices of calling a national emergency on climate change, he invoked the Defense Production Act to increase domestic production of green energy. We talked about it in the show back when it happened, but basically they're so excited. We're gonna create investments in thousands of high-quality, good-paying manufacturing jobs and strengthen America's energy supply chain, says Secretary of Energy Granholm. Creating healthier indoor spaces through homegrown clean energy technologies. What in God's name is she talking about? Anyway, what they're doing here is it's evidencing their willingness to blow off normal behavior, disregard existing law, and sees loopholes in. I mean, they must have a team of lawyers who do nothing but sit around trying to think up new ways to put loopholes in existing law. Well, one of the most extreme things that he's done in you know, maybe ever when it comes to the energy sector. I mean, there's been a lot of them. Think about it. Depleting our national reserves. Oh, yeah. Shutting off the Keystone Pipeline. Oh, yeah. Driving us into energy dependence. Oh, yeah. You know, pushing for electric vehicles, pushing for renewable energy grids that aren't able to be truly created now. Spending trillions of dollars to upfund things like electric bus companies that then go bankrupt. Offshore wind farms that then wind up killing whales. I mean, it's on and on and on and on. Well, here's what he did last week. Three weeks ago, January 26th, story here I pulled off of a site called the Highland County Press, which is really a local newspaper from Texas. But they reprinted a piece written by a guy who worked at the Texas Public Policy Foundation, which is like Texas' version of API, the Policy Institute. On January 26, it says, President Joe Biden took an aggressive step forward in his war on American energy by halting the permitting of new liquefied natural gas export terminals. What are we talking about here? LNG, or liquefied natural gas. It's the gas that heats our homes. It's the gas that we use, you know, for a variety of different appliances and other applications. It's the gas that's used in industry. And it's also a gas that we have such an abundance of that we are one of the largest net exporters of LNG to the world. The bulk of where it is shipped from are the states of Texas and Louisiana, which, by the way, happen to be red states. It requires some pretty serious infrastructure. It requires the ability to develop export terminals that can house the gas and then safely put it on the ships so that it can be shipped to our, you know, purchasing, you know, foreign nations. And what Biden just did was completely interrupt the global supply. He basically put a freeze on the growth of the LNG exports. It's a decision that this particular article points out is going to send billions of dollars now to foreign producers, because it's not like the world's going to quit wanting it. We're just going to quit shipping it. How does he get away with this stuff? Well, right now there are multiple states talking about filing suit. But the question is asked in this particular article, and it's so well written. If this decision does not help Americans and hurt our allies, if the decision doesn't help American and hurt our allies, why would we do it? Well, I agree. Why would we do it? There's nothing else there except an agenda. There's no, well, it's good for America, because it's not. There's no, well, this is going to wind up helping American industry, because it won't. There's, by the way, where are they going to turn? Well, it says here in the article, for context, 87% of U.S. liquid natural gas exports go primarily to our allies in Europe and Asia. Okay, so we're hurting our allies. Yeah, basically. The Biden administration, though, then by blunting America's ability to participate on the world energy stage, creates a vacuum that will undoubtedly have to be filled by other major natural gas exporting countries like Russia, Qatar, and Iran. Oh, the ones that hate us. The ones that are shooting at us right now, the ones who are receiving sanctions from the U.S. government as of today. Biden put sanctions on Russia, new sanctions. All I'm saying is here, what we got here is a president who could care less about you and I. He does not care a whit about whether you and I can heat our homes efficiently or afford to live in Biden's America. But he's now taking action that not only puts us in a bad spot on the world stage, it hurts our friendly nations and drives them to have to buy what they need from countries that hate us, which, by the way, puts money in the coffers of the nations that hate us so they can do things like give missiles to the Houthis. Congress did not authorize to the Department of Energy to do this, by the way. This would have implications inside and outside of our borders. It requires congressional attention. And the truth be told, Biden could care less, man. He's more worried about just making sure that you don't have a gas stove in your new house. He could care less what it does to your wallet. He can care less what it does to American shipping and exports. He could care less what it does to our allies. It's because he has activists that work in his administration, and they are driving the train right now, and they're basically saying, Mr. President, while you're eating your pudding, please sign this right here, and we'll tell everybody you really wanted to do that. That's where we are. All right, folks, listen, we're going to take a break right now. Last break of the week. You guys stay tuned. We'll come right back, take some text messages, and put a wrap on this one. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Just, I mean, like making common sense like a superpower. Hey, I gotta tell you guys, listen, you hear the ads playing during the break, right? Just know this, Right Side Radio is a standalone entity unto itself. We are a business like any other business, and part of what we do is this conservative messaging, right? Well, the way we support ourselves is in part by selling ads. And so if you would like to take advantage of the fact that we have thousands and thousands, literally thousands, tens of thousands of Right Side Ruffians listen to this show every week, you may want to consider that, you know, your goods and services, since you're a Right Side Ruffian, might want to be bought by other Right Side Ruffians. And if you'd like to go ahead and think about advertising on Right Side Radio, the way you do that is contact us directly. Go to our website, rightsideradio.org, rightsideradio.org. On the spot where it says advertising and contact, click on it and send us a message, and we will get back to you. We would love to have you on the team. That's advertising with Right Side Radio. You can find the contact point at rightsideradio.org. I see I got several text messages here. Let me see what we got. Raven from Russellville again. He says, yep, Biden is sure enough the kid sniffer in chief. Yes, he is. It's weird. What you got?
I saw a video once. He was talking to a kid, and he's like, you got some beautiful ears.
It's just weird.
It is, man. Weird. Why would you say that to
a kid? And
then
he leans down and sniffs their hair. You can see him sniff their hair sometimes, too. It's just like, man.
You got some beautiful kneecaps.
Stop it.
This is weird. Like, what are you doing?
what do we got here? Let's see. Steve from Huntsville says, Colonel, I'm a union plumber in Alabama. I think there's a difference between a company going union like a car manufacturing or the teachers union. Hire my company to do the work of someone else. All unions are not bad. Okay, Steve, I get you. And listen, I think you're in a different category. What we're talking about here is like, well, I think you're pointing it out. Like when a car manufacturing plant unionizes, they literally distort the labor force. There's a day in the past when, you know, the labor force needed the protection of the unions for their collective bargaining and that kind of stuff. Rarely ever do you see that need now. Now what it typically is an opportunity for unions to get paid big money to then fund Democrat candidates, and then, oh, by the way, to push for wages that are no longer sustainable, which winds up cutting back the ability to sustain a workforce. And then you wind up seeing things like eventually they just offshore the jobs. Or in the case of the Gadsden area, it just drives the plants into extinction. They're gone. We lost thousands of jobs. The Gadsden area alone at one point had Gulf State Steel employing thousands. And we had the largest tire manufacturing plant in the world at one point, the Goodyear plant in Gadsden, that employed thousands. And famous last words of the union hall were, hang in there, boys. They won't shut us down. Where are they now? Both plants are gone. Both of them. Ray from Harvest sent me a link. Is it another helicopter? It was an Apache helicopter is what he's saying. Okay. Well, you know what? Different storyline here. So WTVA is saying that the helicopter that went down is a different one. This is in Mississippi. All right, we had two helicopter crashes today then. Let's go ahead and correct the narrative from a while ago. So we have one that crashed in Pike County, minor injuries out of Fort Rucker. We have another one, though, in Prentice County, Mississippi. An Apache military helicopter crashed, and it does appear that both crew died in that particular accident. And that occurred today, like almost at the same time.
That's very odd.
Yeah.
What are the chances of that?
I don't know what airframe was in the Alabama crash. But I'm going to bet that it was either one of those trainers that they have, or it was a Blackhawk. But yeah, so apparently we do have two National Guardsmen, and I don't know, is it saying in here? They were part of the Mississippi National Guard is saying it, but I assume that means it was Mississippi National Guard's helicopters, or helicopter. Wow, man, hate to hear that. And thanks for the heads up on that one, Ray. Appreciate you squaring us away on that. But go figure that we're going to wind up having two separate helicopter crashes in the same afternoon in neighboring states. That's just too much. Jeff from Indiana says, I ran over Trump yesterday. His motorcade went right underneath me when I was going over and over. Okay, now I understand what he's saying. Went right as I was going over and over an overpass in Nashville. All right, well, that's your brush with fame, Jeff Rowe. What else we got here? JT Lacey Springs. He said, seems like more every day Biden wants us to become Gilligan's Island. No phone, no lights, no motor car, not a single luxury. And now, by the way, the lyric is stuck in the mind. Have a great weekend. JT, you're right. I'll be singing the theme to Gilligan's Island forever. And there's a couple I could throw at you right now, but I won't do that to you because I'd be sacrificing the mental sanity of thousands. John from Huntsville, the grades are in.
Okay, let's hear it.
Big Rig gets an A+.
Nice.
There you go. Phil, you get an A+.
Wait for it.
But once again, I had to deduct 2 points from my grade for going to PBS. So today's first place winner is clearly Clay Schofield with an A++.
I agree.
Our guest in studio was awesome today. Yeah. It's good to see friends like that too, man. We served together for 8 years, and there are times when I miss being in the legislature, but not much. What I miss is the people. And
he seemed like a good dude.
He's a good dude. He's one of them. Farmer by trade. Nice. Yeah, he had a long time family farm up in Marshall County near Gunnersville. Actually sold the family farm a few years ago, and now he's with the Business Council of Alabama doing good things, I pray. Well, listen, that's it, man. We're putting a wrap on that one. What a great week. We were full up, y'all. Listen, have an amazing weekend. Big Rig and I are back here Monday at 2. We'll see you then.